Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom at voicesofmontana.com.
Oh, there's a lot of philosophy out there about the heart, right? And the heart is this and the heart is that. What do doctors think the heart is? It's vital. It's a vital organ. Are you taking care of it? Are you? How do you take care of the heart? I mean, and things have changed, right? We just don't go out and beat it up anymore like I thought we used to. Oh, it's good for the heart, right? No, we've come a long ways. We're going to talk about that in great detail today. And what an honor it will be here to have this program. Billings Clinic, we have got surgeons here, heart surgeons, to talk about your heart and your care. They're from Billings Clinic, and we're going to get going here today. It's American Heart Month. Welcome to a Monday, Voices of Montana. Again, Tom Schultz alongside, two decades strong and working on three. It's from Montana, for Montana. So really, just a huge show here today, and it's really hard to kind of set the stage even for it. We've got surgeons in studio, and so we're just going to start off by introductions here, and then we're going to talk about the miracles of medicine and some of those things that are being accomplished nowadays in people's hearts and in people's bodies that are just in my mind, they just kind of blow my mind. But we are we're in studio here. Let's welcome who I know. Dr. Colin Fisher is with us, a cardiologist. And Colin, are you there? Can we hear you?
I'm here. Can you hear me loud?
I can. Thank All right. you. That's good. Also with us in studio is Dr. Alexander Sasha Kryev, a cardiothoracic surgeon as well. Good morning, Dr. Kryev.
Good morning.
Can you hear okay?
I can't hear anything unless I have these off, but
okay. you're okay like that for now.
Okay.
All right. We'll make sure we work on that. And also, guess who else? Ben Norberg, provider relations liaison with Billings Clinic. Ben.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, man. Thanks for being here. Appreciate that. Yeah. You good? Good,
yeah,
Sasha?
Good, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and speak right into that.
Okay.
I tell you what, Ben, why don't you tell us why we're here today?
Sure.
Yeah.
February, of course, is nationally recognized as a Heart Education Month. We in Billings, we obviously have the largest tertiary hospital for the region, so that would include all of Montana, the Western Dakotas, and Northern and Central Wyoming. We're here today really to speak about the heart and what it takes to keep your heart healthy. But there are also the instances where, you know, heart disease is one of the number one killers in the United States. Yeah. And so there are the times where you can do all that you can do, but at certain times it's going to take an expert to go in and fix you. And so that's obviously why Dr. Kryev and Dr. Fisher are here to talk about what that entails when you need to go and get your heart fixed.
And I think a lot of people nowadays have had some close family member, maybe themselves, have had some heart trouble. And they understand, I think, a little more about the heart than perhaps we did years ago. But there's still a lot more to learn. So let's go right into it. Dr. Alexander and Sasha Kryev, and thank you again for being here. I know
Thanks for having us.
You guys are busy. You're super busy. In fact, you were in surgery this morning, weren't you?
That's right.
Yeah. And there's more to come, too.
Got to get your workouts in early, you know.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I'd like to ask, you know, what's your life like? Because you got to be pretty darn busy, and you got family and things like that. So I'll get to that. But I'm going to ask the question in this form. The heart is like, and what would you say the heart is like? And in that, tell us why it's so important for us to pay attention to and to know what the heart is like. The heart is like a...
Well, the heart gives you life. You know, if the heart's not pumping the blood, then you're not getting the oxygen and the nutrients and everything else that you need anywhere. And so if the heart's not working, nothing's working. And I tell that to patients all the time, especially when they're sick and they're in the hospital, that if we can't get your heart working, there's going to be trouble with everything.
Yeah. And Dr. Fisher, Dr. Colin Fisher, again, a cardiologist as well. I want to ask you the same question. The heart is like, and what do you try to tell people who are just kind of at that very basic understanding of kind of the medicine that they may be walking into?
The heart is something you have to take care of. It's a pump, and our body, for all the organs and systems to work, we have to have blood to circulate. And so it's essential for for being alive. So it's something that people should really put conscious effort into taking care of.
Are we?
Some people do. A lot of us do.
And that's, I guess that's the big question.
Right. And that's the main, you know, that's the first thing that we're here, that heart, like Ben said, heart disease is still number one disease in the country. Heart attacks is still the number one problem. We're still doing a taking care of a lot more heart attacks than we're taking care of anything else. And so we want folks to be conscious of that. And kind of the common thing that we see is that people, especially guys, no offense, they ignore their symptoms for a while. They're like, oh, you know, this heartburn is just not going away. They keep going through it, whatever it is that they need to do, that they can all get better on its own. And then, you know, finally their wife's tells them they're an idiot and gets them in.
Tells them again and again.
Yeah, there's actually again, a statistic again, that's again. True that if you're a married man, you live longer than if you're not married. And I'm convinced after seeing patient after patient whose wife drug him in, dragged him in, that they stayed alive because of their spouse.
Well, what's the difference? What's the myth out there? I mean, because I grew up eating boogers and bugs, right? And so my immune system is, and I'm German. And so I can eat all the sausage I want, so to speak. What is the myth versus reality when it comes to our understanding? And I don't care, Colin, you're standing upright, sitting upright. Go ahead and take that one.
Yeah, so I think that people who develop cardiovascular disease, they're okay until they're not. And so it, in many cases, is silent. And you have this atherosclerosis that's going on without any symptoms. Then all of a sudden you have this event, and then people are aware that they have this. And so I think it's important to seek out medical care early in life. In the 20s, people should be getting in and seeing a doctor. And then periodically thereafter, there are risk factors for developing cardiac disease that can be addressed early on. And the earlier on that we address these, the less chance they have of developing problems later in life. And so if you have hypertension and it's uncontrolled, you can go decades with hypertension and not know about it. And it's a risk for heart attack, stroke, and kidney disease. If you can get that taken care of in your 20s, that's, you know, potentially decades that you can go without that taking a beating on your body. So early, seeing their primary care doctors early is super important. And addressing risk factors, because heart disease is to a large degree something that we can control. And I think in Montana we have this kind of frontier mentality that people just take care of themselves and they just put their nose to the grindstone and work hard. And I think it's important to look up just for a little bit to get in and take care of yourself.
I'm gonna have you go ahead and follow up on that, Dr. Kryev. When is a symptom just a symptom of when is it heartburn? And when's it something I need to look into more seriously?
That's always tricky. And to finish on Collins, the analogy that I use a lot of the times is it's kind of like a wire. You know, you take it and you bend it, and it's fine until it snaps. And so I think the heart kind of does that too, where our body everywhere has got a great capacity to compensate until it doesn't. And then things just fall off. And I usually use there's three main reasons for heart disease, and that's your genes, and you can't do anything about that. And it's your lifestyle, which includes how active you are, you exercise, and you get an aerobic exercise in. You know, a lot of people in Montana were lucky. I'm usually pretty active, as opposed to some of the bigger cities. And then it's your diet. And as much as we like to harp on it, you know, some people can eat anything they want, and some people have to be really careful. And, you know, genetics still play in a lot of it. But, you get online, you read all sorts of things. I think the only things that I know that have been really proven is, one, the Mediterranean diet, which is fruits, vegetables, nuts. The only meat that's good is fish. You know, no, you know, red meat, chicken, like none of it. All of it's bad.
But every day
processed
is meat day
sausages,
in Montana,
right? Yeah. Sausages.
Sorry.
Yeah, the processed meats are not good. Yeah. And then, you know, the plant-based stuff is good. Works for the heart. And then they're intermittent fasting. If you can do intermittent fasting, that's plant-based. That's ideal. But that is really hard to do. I've tried it myself. It's hard.
It is.
And
yes.
So at the end of the day, you do have to live and enjoy your life and kind of make the most of it. And, you know, the symptoms are a lot of times are subtle, and sometimes there's not much. And, you know, but it never hurts to, I guess my take point, a lot of people is it never, if you're wondering, get checked out, because, you know, you get the test done. If they look good, great. And Colin can speak more towards kind of the testing that we do. You know, a lot of it is not really that complicated.
Dr. Right? Fisher, go ahead.
Yeah. So it's as simple as a blood test sometimes. And so if you look at the risk factors for coronary disease and then what you can do, a huge amount of whether or not you're going to have a heart attack or stroke in life is within your control. And so if you're eating a heart-healthy diet like the Mediterranean diet or even a plant-based diet, that's you know, not a lot of people in Montana are fans of a plant-based diet. But that or even Mediterranean diet, that in many studies reduces your risk of heart attack and stroke by 35%.
Wow.
And then doing some kind of physical activity, aerobic activity for 150 minutes a week, that's just 30 minutes 5 days a week, that lowers your risk by about 35%. There's some medicines, if you have risk factors, such as if you have high cholesterol, that doesn't cause symptoms. So you have to go in and talk to your doctor, get a very simple blood test, and then you know. And knowledge is power. And if you get on the right treatment for that, that can lower your risk by up, you know, 25 or 30%. So if you add all these things up that people have control over, it really lowers substantially the risk.
I like that. And because in my medical journey, my life journey, so to speak, I have recognized that my health outcomes are better when I'm in charge of it myself, when I'm learning, when I am directing the care and asking the right questions, so to speak. And I think a lot more people...
You have to be your own advocate.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
You gotta ask the right questions.
A lot of stories.
So you got to ask questions. You know, you can't just keep ignoring stuff or be like, you know, is this something or is it not something? You know, you got to... One of my hobbies is playing hockey, and I say at least a couple of times a year, I'm skating with a friend, and he's short of breath. And he can't catch his breath. And he's like, oh, I'm just getting older. I'm just out of shape. Well, are you? You know, we've skated for already years. You're fine. So there's a decline. And I send him in to see one of the cardiologists, get a stress test done. I have to say we've picked up at least a couple of heart disease things that got taken care of. And now they're fine, as opposed to, and I say at least once or twice a year, somebody collapses on the ice with a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
And so these types of things help to prevent that. And then, you know, there's that the extreme, I say, you know, recently I did a big operation on a guy who's short of breath and having chest pain for a year. And he just kept saying, yep, I'm all right. I'm just getting older. I just need to get in shape a little better. But he's hardworking. He's a mechanic, works in machinery. You know, he's got to keep at it until he couldn't. He literally couldn't get out of bed, and his wife brought him in. And he, a normal heart can get about 60% of the blood out that it receives. He was doing only 10%. You know, he lost 80% of his heart function just sitting on it. And then at this point, when you've lost so much of your heart, it's a lot more work to get it back.
Isn't it amazing, though, that people, even with that operating on 10%, can feel like, oh, my heart is okay.
Yeah.
What an organ it is in that regard.
It can compensate, but also, you know, I think there's a the Nile's not the river.
Yeah. there's definitely some denial sometimes.
Well, yeah, and you can probably look around this room and look at people who go, oh, no, that's me. I'm in denial about some things when I healthcare. Behavioral lifestyle stuff is an important part of this. You talk about lifestyle and diet. I got to take a break. We'll come on back. And also the outreach, the education. You know, Benjamin, I know Benjamin Norberg, provider relations liaison. We're going to be speaking with Ashley Pecora. She's a young patient. Also, she's a physical therapist as well. But she's got a story to tell. We'll come back after a little break and maybe set that up too, but also tell familiar stories. Tell the stories, Dr. Kryev and Dr. Fisher, that people will find themselves in and they can head off some of those more unfortunate outcomes there as well. Back with more. It's From Montana, For Montana, Voices of Montana. Billings Clinic in studio here. It is American Heart Month. We are talking with heart specialist and cardiothoracic surgeon Sasha Kryev is with us. Dr. Kryev in studio. Dr. Colin Fisher as well, cardiologist
Benjamin Norberg, provider relations liaison, as we speak with Billings Clinic here and try to get you kind of aware and wakening up a little bit to better care for your heart. Billings Clinic, you talk about care, regional health care center, 600 physicians and practitioners and more than 80 medical specialists. I imagine, Benjamin, with that kind of coverage and all those specialties, it's kind of hard to keep track of. So it's probably good to get to American Heart Month and be able to focus on something that is really vital to everything else that you guys do, probably.
Yeah. So like we talked about before, February being Heart Month, we take a big focus on letting people know what resources are available in Billings. So it's about a 600-mile radius around us in all directions that we're the largest hospital in that region. Within that, obviously, there's large swaths of very rural populations.
Average patient travels 238 miles.
Yeah.
Is the statistic I heard.
Yeah.
Dr. Kryab, that's a long ways, 240 miles. And so logistically, some things get in the way at times.
Yeah. So obviously, the last couple of weeks we've had some adverse weather, which is not uncommon, but it's something that, that will make people miss their appointments. And so what big thing of what we try to do on the education front is when we can, we try to bring as much specialties to the region as possible. So for instance, Dr. Fisher and Dr. Kryab are both involved in outreach themselves. Dr. Fisher goes to Red Lodge and Cody, Wyoming. Dr. Kryab sees patients over in Bozeman. The rest of our cardiology team and another of our heart surgeons there, they travel as well.
Yeah, docs all over the place.
Yeah, it's a huge benefit. Right. I mean, it's one of those, and not only for restrictions for patients due to weather, but we have, obviously, when you're talking about heart disease, you're speaking generally, in some cases, elderly populations. Mm-hmm. And no matter what time of year, that can be very difficult for them to travel. So when we can, we obviously want to bring care close to home for those patients and make sure that we're being active.
Telemedicine is also easily available. If you can't make it in, we're happy to have a visit on the phone or with video. Either way, the video can be a little clunky, but phone is always very easy, and I'm always happy to get folks in that way. But distance is a challenge, when you look at Montana, people say, "Oh, I'm from." I don't know if I could make a, where are you from? Well, I'm from Roundup. Well, that's the suburb. people on the East Coast don't get that.
Yeah.
Where I grew up, I'd say anything up to a mile city is a suburb of Billings. And then, you get out to Plentywood and so and say, okay, now you're making a journey. Then I get that. But you do have to plan for the weather. And if, something emergent comes up, it's not always convenient. We have a good network of flight teams. They can get you in. But like last week with all the snow, a lot of people were grounded. We had a patient that didn't make it in Bozeman because we couldn't get him nobody could get him in, literally. And unfortunately, this is one of the challenges that we deal with. There's not a centralized kind of command center, which would probably help, but our transfer center does a great job in trying to coordinate it, and they can try to get that patient in. They call every flight team all the way from, they call everybody to the West Coast to all the way to Minnesota. Just the weather was bad. We're out of luck. So that, that happens, and we're definitely very conscious of that. And that's another reason of, come in early.
Preventative care is huge.
Yeah, preventative care is huge. And if you're having an issue, get don't wait until somebody's got to put you in the back of the truck and drive you in. You got to keep that in mind. And we find that a lot of people are literally trying to work themselves to have death, ignoring things. And we're pushing on this PR of, don't do that. Make better choices.
Dr. Fisher, Dr. Colin Fisher, why don't you tell us a story that relates to that? Tell us the story of the person out there right now who's going, I don't know if I've got indigestion or I should go in and give somebody a call about this. What's going on through their mind and how are they analyzing their body right now? And maybe tell a story of someone who's in that spot that you know of.
Sure. I think it's very easy with heart disease to be in denial about it. And I've seen even people with a strong family history, and they just don't think that it could happen to them. So I have a number of patients, not just one or two, but quite a few people whose first symptom was just indigestion or what they thought was acid reflux. And I have people who can't even distinguish between their acid reflux and their heart attack pain. So, you know, the usual symptom that people would get with a heart attack or with blockage in the arteries would be chest discomfort, worse when you walk. But sometimes it's not that. Sometimes they get upper back pain or shoulder pain or pain in the, I've seen pain in the wrists only with some shortness of breath. And then acid reflux is a common symptom to experience, and people just come in because it won't go away. So if they're experiencing a symptom that's new or that's surprising to them, instead of just kind of playing it off, I think they should come in and get it evaluated. We have good ways to evaluate these things. Many times, they don't have to come to Billings. Many times, it's just seeing their primary care person who's local, who can order some fairly straightforward tests. And so our goal at Billings Clinic really is to keep people as close to home as much as possible and then bring them here only when necessary.
How do you, when they're here, how do you reassure them? How do you get them from the place of, even in their when they're in your office, they're probably still in denial. How do you get from that place to taking their heart care more seriously?
Well, sometimes... you know, it depends. Sometimes people are in the emergency room when we see them for the first time, and they've been diagnosed with a heart attack with those symptoms. And then sometimes they get sent over for a stress test, and we see them in the office. I think usually if you hand them the information that they have abnormal labs or that they have an abnormal stress test, then most people will buy into this as something they need help with. I think, you know, the goal is that we have a good partnership with the patient. I think it's really important to get rapport, that there's trust going both ways. And when you recommend something that they, you know, that you have enough clout and they trust you enough that they're going to do what you say. And I think having the other thing that's important to us is having patient-centered conversations. We call it shared decision-making now. So a lot of times if we're going to do a procedure, there are different options about what procedure they could have or whether to do a procedure or not. And the old style in the 1970s and 80s was, you know, this paternalistic kind of care where the doctor tells you what you're going to do and you do it. And we don't really do that anymore. We sit down with a person and talk about what's important to them, their values. We try to give them as much information as they can. I kind of see myself in many ways as an educator to help them feel informed, and they can make the decision along with us.
Ben, you're really shaking your head yes on that one. Yeah. I mean,
but it goes with the culture, right? I mean, you know, I think in our state there's a pride, and it is that independence. And so I think having that healthcare model, that's more convincing for a lot of folks in the state, where they're going to feel empowered. Now they're not powerless, even if they might be in a bad situation, and we might have gotten to a point where, you know, their disease has now really advanced. If you still give them that ability to feel like they have that decision-making power, more often than not, they're going to make the right decision.
Yeah, and I want to kind of get into that, but we're going to tell the story of Ashley Pecora here in just a little bit. And Dr. Alexander, but Sasha Kryev, she was your patient.
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you set this up for us?
Yeah, so... Ashley is a young patient, and I'm so grateful that she's willing to help us with this. I was going to chime in here. You know, part of the reason why we're here is that there are a lot of stubborn mules out there.
And a few in here, too, I will admit.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. And so part of the reason why we're here, and I'm so grateful that Ashley is willing to share her story and has done that in such a powerful way. But she has a genetic problem. Her mom had it, sister, she knew about it. She's had it for a while. So family, it's knowing your family problems is important. And aneurysms are in the family. And this was something that she needed to be addressed. And her story has traits of being proactive about it, but then there's multiple treatment options that are less invasive. Her recovery is easier. She's able to get back on track easier, because that's another thing that people worry about, is getting back to work and doing things.
And she's super active, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
To the point.
A lot more than me.
Where she's out there running marathons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, good work on that, Sasha.
Awesome.
Ashley will join us next. We'll come on back with more from Montana for Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Thanks for being here. I hope you're enjoying your Monday. I know, got a lot of work to do. Just keep hammering away at it, right? And we'll get, hopefully, going to where you need to go. Tom Schultz again alongside, two decades strong and working on three, the program from Montana for Montana. It is American Heart Month, and Billings Clinic is in studio. And heart specialist Dr. Alexander or Sasha Kryev, cardiothoracic surgery, cardiology, Dr. Colin Fisher. Benjamin Norberg is with us as well. He's a provider relations liaison for Billings Clinic. And now we're going to kind of enter into a whole nother discussion here as we have Ashley Pecora on the line. And Benjamin, I'll go to you to kind of set this stage up, story up a little bit to talk about Ashley. But let's say hello to Ashley. Good morning, Ashley. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Doing good here. Your doctor's in studio. How do you like that?
I know, that's great. Good morning, everyone. I love it.
Yeah, and if you've got, this is free advice if you wanted to ask him a question or two. Dr. Colin Fisher is also with us in studio, and a kid, Benjamin Norberg. Talk about how important it is for folks like Ashley to come out and tell her story and be willing, because it can get kind of personal a lot of ways as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is really a very unique opportunity. You know, of course, when we talk about heart health, I think there's the conception that it is mostly reserved for folks that are unhealthy. And of course, that's where we see a majority of patients. But heart conditions, it's a very wide spectrum. And so Ashley, being young and healthy and in fact probably more active than most of us here in studio, is a good example of how that it's going and being active. And no matter how healthy you think you are, it's always important to know for sure, to go in and get checked up, because there can be underlying things that you would think never would happen to you, but certainly can. And so with Ashley being here, it's a good example of, hey, that's important for everybody in the country, not just the ones that you would consider generally unhealthy.
How long were you floating down the river of denial, Ashley? Or what
she
was
wasn't.
It?
No, she was, yeah, good. She wasn't. Yeah. She was very smart.
What was it that, you know, as Ben is relating to, that you recognized, hey, I am going to ask some questions about this in my body?
Yeah, so it started about 2 years ago. Well, I've always had the genetic condition. And about 2 years ago, I was getting into trail running. And then my husband and I were thinking about some possible family planning. And the aorta had grown to a size where doctors were kind of concerned, but didn't really want to do anything about it yet. So I just kept asking questions, and my PCP, my primary care provider here in Bozeman, recommended me to Billings Clinic.
And just some background for the folks out there. It's an aneurysm. You know, aneurysms is enlarging of the arteries, and hers was involving the main artery that comes out of the heart. And so the analogy that I use, it's like having an alpine chain on a bike tire that kind of starts to grow with time. But it's genetic. It's not that uncommon. About 2% of the U.S. population has it. So if you went to a high school of 50 people, one person in your high school has it. And so this is where the genetics are important, and Ashley was smart enough to pay attention to that. Because is it your mom and your sister?
Yep, mom and sister, both, yep.
So that's what started things, and having that aortic issue also goes together, having some valvular problems, so her valve was a little bit leaky, and she wanted answers.
Were you scared, Ashley? Or how did you overcome some of those doubts or some of those fears that you might have had going into something like this? Because, you know, this is your heart, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's very, very normal to be scared. I think that I was scared not having answers. So when I met with Dr. Kryev and he explained everything, he sat down with me, he went through the research, we watched videos, he talked about, you know, his expertise and how many he's done. It gave me a lot of peace of mind that, hey, I'm in good hands. Now I have some answers and we can, like, start to take the next steps forward. But I think the not knowing is where my fear came from. So once I knew that I was in good hands, I had a lot of confidence.
And Dr. Clive, how did you feed into that? I mean, was it a matter-of-fact conversation with Ashley? I guess it depends on the patient as well.
Yeah, it depends on the patient, you know, and Ashley's very scientifically minded, so it was much easier, and she's got the background for it in healthcare, which made things easier. But like you said, I've done the same conversation so many times that it's that there are components of it that are scripted. The kind of the science behind it is pretty scripted in terms of what your risk factors are and what point we really start to worry about things. And then, you know, some of the advantages of kind of modern world is that it's always easy to reach out. And so there are some subtle things about Ashley's case that I was able to share her images with my partners. But also we have a conference at Billings Clinic every Friday where we all the cardiologists, the heart surgeons, the pacemaker people, everybody who has to do with the heart meets in the same room, and we talk about interesting cases, challenging cases, anything that anybody has question about. So it's nice having that kind of a lot of experts looking at your things at the same time. I've also sent Ashley's images and case to Mayo, since we're part of the Mayo Network, and I had one of the surgeons there comment on it as well. So it's easy to get information. It's easy to get data. And then when this is what you do, then it's easy for me to compile it all and give my best recommendations. At the end of the day, it is patient's choice, and we're very clear about that. So it's your body, it's your life. But this is what we know, this is what we recommend, and I'm pretty upfront as far as kind of what I would do, and what the options are. And different people have different opinions about things, and kind of like people with aneurysms, some people, as soon as they hear about it, they want it taken care of and they don't care what it takes. And then, but there's the people that are going to be like, no, I'm just going to wait and I'm going to see what happens. And that's up to you. But we give you the information, that's up to you.
I'm going to ask you what you did, you know, inside her body, so to speak, as well, you know, and kind of describe that. But and Ashley Pecora is with us here. Ashley, go ahead and describe then, you know, as Sasha had just said, getting you mentally prepared for this physical challenge for you.
Yeah, I think for me it was helpful to know all of the numbers, the percentages of, hey, this is your percentage of death, mortality, something bad happening during surgery, and this is the percentage that your aneurysm could rupture and lead to something bad while you're out living your life. And for me, it was kind of a no-brainer. The risks of surgery were much lower. So I was pretty darn confident going into surgery. It was surprising how quickly I think the surgery came up, because I had never really been taken that seriously before. My concerns were not taken seriously by other providers in the past, so having those concerns taken so seriously, and Dr. Kryev was like, yep, we could do it in October, we could do it in a month. So that was just really nice, having those concerns taken so seriously.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that too. How did you fix Ashley?
Yeah, so you know the anybody who's I'm sure we have some plumbers out there that know that you can't replace the aorta is the main blood vessel, is the main pipe that comes out of the heart. You can't replace that pipe you can't replace any pipe without having water run through it. For us, it's blood, and so what we do to solve that problem is once we connect you to the heart-lung machine that takes over for your heart, and then we use the heart-lung machine to actually cool your body down. And for every 6 degrees that we cool, the amount of oxygen that you need goes down by half. The amount of metabolic demand you have goes down by about half. So as we go down to 24 degrees, that's only 12.5% of kind of the energy that you need. And during that time, we literally drain all the blood you have in your body into this machine. And you're kind of suspended animation, and we have about an hour to do what we need to do. Usually this type of a thing takes me under 20 minutes every time. I've been working to get under 10 minutes, so there's plenty of time. I think Ash just took like 11. there's a bit of a hurry component to it, but we do it all the time. We do it every day. It's pretty safe. This is why people that fall in the cold river or lake can survive for a while, even underwater, is because your body doesn't need as much oxygen when you're cold. And then once we're done, we warm it back up and put everything back together.
Dr. Colin Fisher, I'm just going to have you weigh in here. What do you like about Ashley's story?
There's a few things, actually. So I like that she was in charge of her own health. I think, you know, she had a family history, so she went and got checked out. Because, you know, if you have a family history of something that has some sort of genetic transmission, it's really important to get checked out and see if you have that. There's different ways. Sometimes it's a genetic test. Sometimes it's an imaging test like an echo. Usually pretty simple. So she recognized that, took charge of her health, and contacted her doctor for that. Sometimes, though, people don't know that they have a genetic condition that, you know, in this case, I think it was a bicuspid aortic valve, which is a kind of an abnormal aortic valve. Sometimes if you just go and see your primary care, they'll hear a murmur. And that's sometimes, you know, people with spontaneous issues, that's the way they come to medical attention. But I think it's neat that she was taken seriously for one thing.
Yeah.
But also what I also liked that Dr. Cryoff said was this CATH conference. And so one of the reasons that I came to Billings Clinic was because of this collegiality that's here and the way people work together. And this CATH conference kind of represents that, where we get a lot of different specialists together to talk about cases. We have experts in heart failure and heart rhythm disorders, and you know, the surgeons also have their own particular expertise. And, you know, I want people to know that we all talk and we all come up with sometimes using different experiences and different backgrounds, we come up with the best treatment for a given patient.
Yeah. Well, disease is the enemy, and we attack it from different angles, and we all have different expertise and points, but we know we got to work together, and Billings Clinic has been a great place for that.
I think it's got to be reassuring as well, because you're dealing with people's lives as well, and
exactly.
you don't want to leave anything on the table.
The stakes are high.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Hey, Ashley, stand by, okay? Because we're right now at this point in our minds, you're still on the table, okay? we're going to close you up, and then we're going to talk about your recovery. And then also, not only that, but your hope now for the future. Yeah, because there is the other side of the symptoms and the doctor visits. It's the wellness. So we'll talk about that as we come on back. Billings Clinic is in studio. Dr. Sasha Cryoff, Dr. Colin Fisher, Benjamin Norberg as well, and Ashley Pecora by phone. Back with more here in a bit. Boy, a lot to get through here, too. The fastest hour in radio does continue. By phone is Ashley Pecora. She's a Billings Clinic patient, also a physical therapist in Bozeman. It's Physical Therapy Elite, where you'll find Ashley working away there with pretty good heart nowadays. Thanks to Dr. Alexander Sasha Cryoff, a cardiothoracic surgeon, who's in studio here along with Dr. Colin Fisher and Benjamin Norberg, provider relations liaison with Billings Clinic. So rather quickly, Sasha, how did we get Ashley off the table?
So once we replaced the aneurysm and place an artificial aorta instead of hers, and the artificial aorta now is going to last the rest of her life. Okay. These things are bomb-proof. And then I also had to repair her valve a little bit so it wasn't leaking. So this way now the valve should also last her the rest of her life. But her surgery was done minimally invasively, and there's lots of minimally invasive options now. And I think once everything's closed up, that made her recovery a lot easier.
Minimally invasive means you go in with tubes?
When we talk about minimally invasive ways, it's a whole kind of rainbow spectrum there. It starts out with catheter-based when there is tubes that were going through your arteries with tubes, which was just a poke. Hers wasn't open heart surgery. It's kind of towards the other side of the minimally invasive, but I'm going through smaller incisions. I'm using the camera. And so just kind of less incisions, less trauma, it makes the recovery easier.
Yeah, and I hear there's a lot more of that nowadays,
I specialize in minimally invasively heart surgery, but at Billings Clinic we have a few specialists that this is what we do.
Ashley, take some time to tell us how your recovery went, and both physically but also mentally too, because I think that's the part here that is the real win.
Yes, yeah. I think physically and mentally overall, it's been pretty easy. I was actually really surprised. I was expecting to be in a lot more pain. I was expecting to be a lot more groggy. I'm still fatigued. I'm about 10 and a half weeks out, so I still get tired at the end of the day. But I'm going to cardiac rehab 3 times a week. I go to counseling to help my mental health. So overall, I feel like if people are thinking about it or on the fence, I would say go for it. It's overall just been so easy. I did train for my heart surgery, so lifted weights, made sure my heart was in really good shape. And then now I feel like I'm almost kind of back to normal physically. So I'm excited to continue to run and have a really fun summer.
Yeah, and you're training for another rut run, right?
Yep, another rut run. So that'll be in September. I am going to do the 28K.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Good work, Sasha. Right?
Yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, put a wrap on it here. Yeah. Ben Norberg.
I think it's come up. I think the main things are if you have any kind of family history, or even if not, it's as Ashley mentioned before, I think there's always a benefit in just knowing. Go in, get checked out. We have the best heart team in the region. We've got so many different experts in so many areas.
And they're super friendly, too, you guys, really. Colin, Sasha, Ben, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.